You're listening to the Humans of DevOps podcast, a podcast focused on advancing the humans of DevOps through skills, knowledge, ideas, and learning, or the SKIL framework.
I'm a big fan of site-reliability engineering, right? I do a lot of work on consulting, coaching on site-reliability engineers. And as I talk with a lot of the operations teams, they are leveraging these new approaches because reliability is becoming the most important question at a board level.
Welcome to the Humans of DevOps podcast. I'm Evelyn Ehrlich, Chief Research Officer at PeopleCert. Our podcast title today is Navigating the Future, Deep Dive on AI Ops Certification. Very exciting topic, very close and dear to my heart. And we have a very special person with us today. We have Shores GP, who is the Managing Director at Taub Solutions. Hello, Shores.
Hey, Evelyn, thanks for having me at this podcast. Really looking forward for some great conversation today.
Yes, likewise. So let me share quickly, Shores, your background with our listeners so that they know who they are dealing with, because I think that's quite important. So Shores is the Managing Director of Taub Solutions in Singapore, USA, and India. He is one of the top 2021 BRMs. He is top 25 influencers in the ITSM by HDI and also a global ambassador of DevOps Institute, which is where Shores and I actually have met. He is the co-author of the SRE Practitioner and Observability Foundation course of DevOps Institute. He has over 22 years and more in industry and is a respected thought leader in areas of ITSM, DevOps, site reliability engineering, and BRM. And he provides consulting, coaching for Fortune 2000 organizations. So, Shores, my first question is, what does Taub Solutions stand for?
Well, that's a great question that you asked me. Taub Solutions stands for Taking You Beyond. So when we started Taub Solutions in 2014, we wanted to build a company that took our customers, business partners to envision business outcomes. So wherever they are in the journey of transformation, as we all call it, we want to take them in to envision business outcomes. So Taub was playing the role of consulting, coaching, and training organization to take them beyond.
Super. Wow, I love that. That is really sharing some passion there you have with customers. And I've always noticed that with you every time we had interacted in the larger group, which leads me to, you've been an ambassador for the DevOps Institute since 2019. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right.
Great. So first of all, thank you and congratulations to have such a long journey. And you and I have not met in person, so we have to put that on our dance card, as I like to say.
Sure.
But besides that, tell us a little bit about the role of an ambassador. What is it, and how has that helped you?
Absolutely. I think if I remember correctly, I was the first DevOps Institute ambassador picked up by the DevOps Institute way back in 2019. And that was a very great honor, right? So DevOps Institute was looking at improving their brand equity by handpicking ambassadors across the globe, right? So the purpose of being an ambassador was to spearhead the humans of DevOps. As you and I know, we've been very passionate about spearheading the humans of DevOps. So the primary objective of being an ambassador was to share knowledge and wisdom across people. Now, if I look at what has that helped me over the years, being an ambassador for the last 5 years now, it's been an amazing opportunity to do knowledge sharing in terms of skill up days, skill up events, DevOps meetup days, and helping people to build DevOps capability. Now, one of the things that fitted to my mission as part of running Taub Solutions was to make an impact to people globally in the form of consulting, coaching, and training. And for me, there's so much joy when you give back to the community, right? And I've always believed, Evelyn, that if we don't give back to the community, then it's a crime, because we have got so much benefits by being a part of this cohort, by being part of the larger mind share. And it is only appropriate to give and share learnings and also help and mentor people. And I think for me, that has been a fulfilling my personal mission. And has actually made a lot of friends and network across the globe.
Very honorable. And impact you have made. Absolutely. I can say that. And then when you said 2019 and 5 years ago, I'm thinking, is it really 5 years ago? Oh my God, that is very scary. Mm-hmm. Okay, let us continue. So I say you are also an instructor, but I think you said you don't like the word instructor, but I still will say, tell me a little bit about that role at DevOps Institute and what you've been doing in this role.
Right, so I would call myself as a facilitator, Evelyn, rather than instructor. I've been always passionate to teach management best practices and best practice frameworks since 2014. As a trainer or a facilitator, I learn a lot from the participants, right? And the opportunity to deliver engagements, both physically and virtually. Remember, prior to COVID-19, we're doing a lot of those training programs and facilitated workshops physically. And it's been an enriching experience, right? For me, it's also the passion of giving back, as I said in the earlier question. And it also reinforces when I was awarded the Best Coach or Trainer Award by the Business Relationship Management Institute in 2019 at New Orleans. And it was a testimonial to provide great value to participants. And for me, it is also to instill the habit of continuous learning. Because one of the things that I believe truly as a facilitator is to keep ourselves on a continual learning spree, but also make sure that we are well aware and equipped with all the latest trends. And you know better because you do a lot of research in terms of providing value-added content for people in the industry. So I make it a practice to equip myself with industry-leading certifications that has helped me to connect the dots over various aspects. This is particularly important because a lot of these training programs or workshops, you get people from different backgrounds who come there and connect. So you will have people from development, infrastructure operations, testing, project management, CIO organizations. So it has helped me to connect the dots with various leading best practices and frameworks, including DevOps, IT Lab Engineering, Observability, and AIOps.
Mm. And in the AI ops, we have a common passion. As you might remember, maybe in one or the other meetings we discussed AI ops, I've been researching and advising in my previous career at Forrester Research on the topic of application performance management. And this topic, interestingly, has changed and morphed into multiple topics today. It's actually, there's an entire new path, in particular growth and in adoption around AI in IT operations. And if we think about AI ops and its origin really was defined by a analyst friend of mine at Gartner, and it really was a simply definition at the time in terms of AI ops was the adoption of AI in terms and then with IT operations to make it much easier for folks in IT ops to analyze and predict things before they could cause impact. And that's kind of the backdrop I wanted to share. But before we get into AI ops, you've been doing work around this and you've, I'm sure, have some thoughts on the expansion of APM into AI ops and observability. Where in IT, there's a couple of questions here. So give us your thoughts on this entire APM into AI ops and observability. And then where in IT are these new approaches to monitoring used? Who are these users? Who are the target audience for AI ops? APM, does it still exist? Observability? What are your thoughts around all of that?
That's a great question, Evelyn. So I think thanks a lot for your work around the application performance management space. That has revolutionized the way we look at the whole ecosystem today, right? Today, if you look at a lot of our customers, they are looking at the end user experience, right? So today we are living in an attention deficit syndrome, and even if a single minute of downtime is going to make them make people paranoid about it. Now, we have traditionally focused on monitoring this at a server level. But then I think this whole proliferation of devices that we are dealing with, tablets, desktop, mobile devices, has brought us the whole client-specific information. And I think APM does a great job to look at providing us great insights towards user experience from the client side part. Now, it is only logical for APM aspect to go into the predictive aspects. Remember, in the earlier world, we used to do reactive from an incident management standpoint. Everything, some happened, something broke down, an Exchange server going off. We actually did something to fix that. So it was more reactive as part of incident management. Then we started to move towards event monitoring as well as the overall correlation engine, where mm-hmm. we kind of becoming a little more proactive, determining the thresholds and aspects in which we wanted to start with. But now the world is changing. A lot of our customers that we are dealing with are saying, how can you be more predictive? We don't want to be the same level of reactive versus proactive, because we have invested a lot of time and efforts on processes, best practices, tools, and also on the skill side. So can you help us to move into that predictive space? Now, that's where the real genesis of AIOps becomes very important, because APM tools give you a little bit of an understanding around what is the problematic areas, and you're able to nail down. But I think we need to move towards that element of predictability. So a lot of people do ask us about difference between monitoring and observability. Just for all our viewers, monitoring is telling you the symptoms, right? It tells you something is broken, but it doesn't tell you exactly what is broken. So, but observability, on the other hand, is able to give you a little bit of identifying root causes, right? And root causes are not just one-to-one. There could be one-to-many reasons why something failed. And that's an area that I think is important to assimilate to make that work. So that probably answers your first question. The second one, where you talked about who is the user of these automation, or where are we applying it? I'm a big fan of site-reliability engineering, right? I do a lot of work on consulting, coaching on site-reliability engineers. And as I talk with a lot of the operations teams, support teams, and SREs, they are leveraging these new approaches, because reliability is becoming the most important question at a board level, right? Mm. So gone are the days that we were just talking about keeping the lights on, BAU. That is gone off, right? People are looking at now to become reliability is the most important first-class citizen. Now, if you're asking reliability to be the first class citizen, how are we going to even make this work? So this requires us to have new approaches to move towards that predictive service management option. And for me, all the SREs and operations team are looking at what can I do to self-heal and auto remediation options? Because at the end of the day, we talk a lot about these as tile, right? We spend way too much time on resolving incidents. So we're not leveraging the power of AIOps. So hopefully, with AIOps, with predictability, can we actually bring in that level of runbook, automation, self scripts, which will help us to do self-healing and auto-remediation? Because it will do two things. It will reduce the toil, it will improve my productivity, and we can focus on things that really makes the most important sense. So for me, those are the real people who are really looking out for leveraging AIOps to make their life and the organization better.
SkillUp Days and SkillUp Hours are the perfect way to stay on top of the latest DevOps trends and improve your skills from the comfort of your own home or office. Our virtual micro-conferences and webinars focus on DevOps and the tech industry and feature expert speakers from both the DevOps world and top IT companies. At our SkillUp Days, you will get everything you'd expect at a traditional conference, including virtual sponsored booths, competitions, and networking opportunities with other attendees and speakers. Don't miss out. Check out our lineup of upcoming events on devopsinstitute.com and register now.
You know, as a literally old IT ops person, I would just want to go back to my role I had many years back, leveraging this type of technology. So very exciting. Thank you. Let's get to the meat of our conversation, which is your work on the AI ops certification. Today, through PeopleCert and DevOps Institute, one can get certified for AI ops. Tell us, Shoresh, what does that entail? Are there any prerequisites one has to go and have before that? How difficult is it? What will one learn? Tell us a little bit about the certification course, because I really would like the audience to get excited about it. And of course, take and get certified so that they can actually do some very amazing things in their role.
Absolutely. I think AIOps is pretty hot on the block. I call it that. AIOps is the new kid on the block with DevOps Institute PeopleCert certifications. It's a two-day course. It's well curated by experienced practitioners telling us what is the value of AIOps. But to your first question, This is a two-day course delivered by PeopleCert DevOps Institute partners. So Top Solutions is one of the elite partners of the DevOps Institute. So who can be attending this session? Like anyone from IT support, IT operations predominantly, because it's talking about AI in the view of operation setup, right? So if you are from an IT service management background, if you are from an IT operations background, you want to leverage power of AIOps to reduce incidents, because that's going to be a very important KRA, that would become a much more important exercise. Now, one of the things we are very passionate about as Top Solutions is that we offer a range of certification courses that fits very logically. Now, I'm trying to bring this because you asked this question of what are some of the prerequisites. Now, what we have seen in the last 8 to 9 years as we have started to work with the DevOps Institute products, we have a big fan following when we started off with Site-Relapt Engineering Foundation. Then they actually enhance their career options towards Site-Relapt Engineering Practitioner. And then we moved on to Observability Foundation, because in SRE Practitioner, we only focused on one module on observability, and they wanted to have a dedicated aspect of observability because the whole trend of moving from monitoring when observability became more important sense. So as people went on through the Observability Foundation, they understand in the maturity model, one of the important aspects of the maturity model is becoming more towards predictability. And that's where the AIOps really fits in very logically. And that's how this AIOps Foundation course is being structured. So as far as the content is concerned, I want to give a high-level topics of what we cover in the two-day program. So we first set the context of what is AIOps in the organizational context, right? What are the core technologies? So we talk a little bit about data. We talk about machine learning. We also start to focus on what are your operational metrics, because typically the operations team have the first call resolution. They look at response time, resolution time, MTTR, MTTD. Now, how does that all play out with the advent of AIOps? Because we need to make sure that this is helping them to make an impact in the way that they solve incidents. It's becoming more proactive. So we also share some of those practical use cases of how AIOps can be beneficial. Because what I've seen is a lot of people are asking for what kind of use cases can I pick up that we can start implementing, because the certification program is not just to give you the principles, the philosophy, the practices, but also instilling a level of curiosity of how can I pick up some of these learnings that I've had in the two-day workshop back to your workplace. And it's also about the mindset, and you and I know very much as part of transformations, it's also about bringing up the cultural mindset, the cultural nuances of thinking, how can we work as a team to holistically facilitate this whole transformation. So we talk a little bit about evaluating the AIOps impact. And finally, the proof is on the pudding, right? So we talk about implementing AIOps in the organization. So what we also do, Evelyn, as part of this workshop, because we have designed it, we give some practical use cases and demo how we went about implementing AIOps in organization. That is very fascinating for people, because you can learn a lot of theory about people, process, technology, but how does it all work together in tandem, and how can we make that more practical? And that's where I think there's a lot of value in people getting that benefit of AIOps and relating it to their workplace.
Sounds like an exciting 2 days, certainly, I think. Now, the next question, you've already alluded a little bit towards it, but I'll ask it again. It's in two parts. We know it's not just done to have a certification, right, as a single person, because the approach of AIOps is actually beyond what one person potentially can do relative to automation of the challenges around services and software and availability. And as you stated so beautifully, the reliability as the first class citizen. I love that, by the way. It's certainly a great opportunity for people out there who are wanting to advance their careers. But so here comes the question. What can one expect once a person has gone through the certification? Is this worth a promotion? Is this a change in role? Is there more money? Other benefits? I think you, like I said, you alluded to a few of those things already. So that's the part one of the question. I'll pause and then we'll go to part two.
Sure. So that's a great question, because at the end of the day, Evelyn, you and I know very well, right? People are investing time and effort and money, right? What is the return on investment? Let's be very clear, right? So a lot of times we do this intake process, Evelyn, where we ask these questions, you know, why are we attending this course? You know, sometimes they say that my manager asked to attend this course, that's why I'm doing it, or I want to go to a career progression. So we really want to understand the needs of your audience. And I think that's very important, because each and everyone has got their own expectations, involvement, interest, and stuff like that. So, but what I've seen over and beyond in the last 6-7 years that I've actually been in the training space, one of the most important reasons people attend these workshops is to become relevant in the digital age. You and I know, with all this ChatGPT and generative AI, there's a huge push, and people are trying to reevaluate themselves to see whether I still remain relevant. Do I know things that are making me competent to be at the workplace? Because there is always a threat to humanity in terms of whether the robots and AIs will replace people. But I always believe that there's a lot of work that human beings can do. And that's why we do this episode of Humans of DevOps. But how to make one productive, right? Because with a lot of things that people are juggling day to day, it's important for people to be more productive, to focus on things that really matter the most. Which means we need to leverage technology advancement to make it more impactful to the business. At the end of the day, to be honest, the business doesn't care about whether it's DevOps, SRE, AIOps, machine learning, observability. They want to really look at profitability, improve market share, ensuring reliability, improving customer experience. So we need to understand various scenarios and use cases. And for me, this will become a very important part of addressing the needs of the business, because to be honest, if you want to get your promotions, if you want to have a pay raise, you have to solve real-world problems. If you want to solve real-world problems, it also means that we need to understand what's the burning or challenge that your organization faces. And I tell jokingly, if you want to get promoted, you need to solve your boss problem. And then you get advanced in your career ahead. So that's my thought around this whole space of what people gain, stand to gain, what is in for me when they go about these certification or programs. Perhaps one caveat is attend these courses with someone who is practitioner, right? So we are not teaching a course by death by PowerPoint, but bringing in the real world experience people can interface and understand how we can apply.
Well said. Now take that up one level and share with us a little bit about the bigger approach for the team. You already said that for the business, but I think what I'd love to see is a little bit more around, what can I do to bring the team along, right? And how can I impact the rest of the site reliability engineers or others beyond my own career? What are your thoughts there?
That's a great one, right? So I always want to start with a quote, right? If you want to move faster, walk alone. But if you want to move farther, walk along with your team. So it's absolutely important to carry your team along. And I call this as a cohort, pod, squad, whatever you call it as, right? Because at the end of the day, it's the team that matters, right? So having said that, I think each and every one in the value chain will have to play that infinite game like what Simon Sinek plays, right? So you need to continuously improve yourself to be a better version of yourself, call it as version 2, version 3, or version 2023, in a way that we can improvise the whole aspect of doing it. So I ask and request a lot of people who go through this certification, whether you're an individual, start thinking about the big picture, right? What is your role and what is your overall focus as a company, as a product, as a service company, as a cohort? What do you want to achieve, right? How are your roles typically fitting? So you could be a site reliability engineer, you could be a DevOps engineer, you could be an operational specialist. Think about what is your current role that you're playing in. So what is the focus of end goal? So you can call it as KRAs, you can call it as OKRs, you can call it as KPIs, whatever you call. What is your end objective? What's the outcome that we are envisioning to keep this done? Now, you all know that the whole landscape is changing pretty fast, and we have to adapt and adopt to the changing life cycle, right? So we call it the VUCA world of volatile, uncertain, complex, ambiguous world. So what it means is that we have to reevaluate our processes, look at process reengineering, look at the tool stack of tool chain that you're having in, and seeing what does it take us for making this shift moving forward. So I ask people to come with a curious and inquisitive mindset. Because when you come to the program, you're not just coming up for the tick in the box to get yourself certified, but start thinking about what problems should I address going back to the workplace. So please make a note of having your questions listed down when you come from this program, because you might not get all the answers immediately, but at least you will start thinking on those lines. That's the first thing. Understand your big picture. And for me, it's also about continuous learning and improvement. You don't learn just by doing certification program or reading books. Attend meetups. This DevOps meetups, the skill up days, the podcast that we are all talking about, because you get a lot of wisdom from these people who are passionately sharing day in and day out. And more importantly, think about how you can contribute back to the workplace, because there's no much fun, Evelyn, if they don't contribute back, because then I feel a sense of belonging that I'm not just worried about my career, my progression. I'm not selfish enough, but I want to give back to the team. And if everybody in the value chain resonates with that philosophy, then how can I make my life, my job, my business a lot more productive effectively? You think it's going to be magical. I think that's, and one of my final quote is that you don't think like, how do you build high-performing team? High-performing teams are not built by high performers. Frankly, it's ordinary people doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. So how can you have ordinary people doing ordinary things extraordinarily well? Because you're driven by a purpose. You're driven by the big picture of making an impact. And if everybody starts to think with that purpose, how we can make the life of our customers, of partners, of our providers better, I think you would have had a definitive impact. And this certification will become a fuel to go in that journey of making things magical.
Very inspirational. I love listening to you. But we have to finish our podcast, and I have one closing question for you. If you have time for doing something fun, what do you do?
Well, I love traveling across the globe and meeting people with different ethnicity, culture, and diversified experience. I've had the opportunity to do it in 26 different countries, and I'm still learning. I love reading books, playing badminton, and I'm a fitness freak, so I do swimming regularly. Finally, I love posting content around productivity hacks and entrepreneurship, because I think all work and no play makes John a dull boy. So I wanted to kind of bring in some of those aspects where people can think there is aspects beyond work and have fun around the journey.
You have been exceptional. This has been fantastic, Shores. Thank you so, so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Well, it was my pleasure, Evelyn, to have me on this podcast, and I hope the viewers get inspired to do these, some of the certification courses, and enhance them in their career. And thank you so much for doing the great work, for inspiring the lot of humans of DevOps to take action and move forward in their career.
Fantastic. We have been talking to Shores Chippy, Managing Director at Taub Solutions. Again, thank you for joining me today, Shores, on Humans of DevOps podcast. Humans of DevOps podcast is produced by PeopleCert and DevOps Institute. Our audio production team includes Daniel Newman-Schultz and Ingrid Seitz. I am Humans of DevOps podcast executive producer, Evelyn Ehrlich. If you would like to join us on a podcast, just contact me or reach out to Humans of DevOps podcast at devopsinstitute.com. I think that's the longest email in the world. I'm Evelyn Ehrlich. Talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Humans of DevOps podcast. Don't forget to join our global community to get access to even more great resources like this. Until next time, remember, you are part of something bigger than yourself. You belong.